Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 15. And we shall read again at verses 4 and 5. John chapter 15 from verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. There is a real connection between Christ and those who belong to him. Believers are united to Christ, who is their life. I am the vine, ye are the branches. The vine is the source of life to the branch. Apart from the vine, the branch is lifeless. The Lord Jesus is telling his disciples that just as the branch must abide in the vine in order to bear fruit, so they must abide in him. They must abide in him if they would bear fruit to the glory of God, the fruits of holiness. So friends, if we look to ourselves or anything else for strength apart from Christ, we deceive ourselves. Christ is the real and only source of spiritual life. The natural vine is only a shadow of this relationship. That relationship that exists between Christ and his people. The vine is just a picture of it. The Lord Jesus says, I am the true vine. And he says, without me, ye can do nothing. Well, if we are the Lord's people, it will be our desire to bear fruit. We feel, we should feel, and if we are the Lord's people, we will feel the need to bear fruit. We know what the commandments are. We know that we need to obey him. And we feel the need to know how to obey him. And so, very often we feel the desire to obey, but how often we fail. We feel powerless. And we, like Paul the Apostle, sometimes say, how to perform that which is good, we find not. But how thankful we should be that the Lord Jesus shows us how to keep his commandments. And not only does he show us how, but he gives us the grace to do so. And the Lord Jesus tells us that in order to bear fruit, we must abide in him. Abiding in Christ. Fruit bearing is possible only by abiding in Christ. Yes, we must have a vital, living, and believing connection with Christ. In order to bear fruit, we must abide in him. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And with the Lord's help this morning, we desire to look at, first of all, the necessity of abiding in Christ. The necessity of abiding in Christ. In the second place, we would consider the method of abiding in Christ. What is abiding in Christ and how to abide in Christ? The method of abiding in Christ. And then in the third place, the blessedness of abiding in Christ. That which should motivate us to seek to abide in Christ, the blessedness of abiding in Christ. So first, the necessity of abiding in Christ. Secondly, the method of abiding in Christ. And thirdly, the blessedness of abiding in Christ. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. First of all, the necessity of abiding in Christ. Here is a relationship that the Lord Jesus speaks of, beginning with verse 2. And notice the words carefully, because we're thinking about why it is so important to abide in Christ. Jesus says, "Every branch in me." Every branch in me. You say, well, that must be the Lord's people, those who have saving grace. Look more carefully. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So there are some in Christ who don't bear fruit, and they are going to perish. This is very, very important. It shows us the need to abide in Christ. You say, but I thought those who have grace will never fall from grace. That's exactly right. But there are some who don't have grace, they don't bear fruit, and yet it is said here they are in Christ. And that is speaking of that external union to Christ in the visible church. We may be in Christ externally, and yet not be united to him in our souls. And my friend, this may describe you this Sabbath morning. You are in Christ in the sense that you belong to his visible church. All the children baptized and formally admitted into the visible church may be said to be in Christ. They have an outward relationship to him in a visible way. They have the name of Christ on them by baptism. And so we may have an outward attachment to Christ as belonging to the visible church, and yet not be vitally united to Christ as the head of the invisible church. We may have this outward attachment to Christ, outward way of being in Christ by attending the means of grace and conforming to his precepts outwardly. And yet, if there is no living connection with Christ, no drawing upon his fullness to receive spiritual life in our souls, then we do not abide in him. Now, the truth is that both classes, those who are in him only outwardly as belonging to the visible church, and those who abide in him by living connection by his Spirit, both classes are said to be in him. Both truly belong to Christ in the visible church, having this outward, external, visible relationship to Christ. Every branch in me. So what is the main difference between the two classes if they both belong to Christ in the visible church? What is the real distinguishing factor? Jesus says, verse 2 again, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This is the distinguishing feature. Some bear fruit and some do not. And those who do not bear fruit are only cumberers of the ground. They have an outward relationship to Christ and nothing else. And the solemn thing is that they will be taken away. And thus you see the necessity of abiding in Christ. You see, those who do not abide in Christ, they do not bear fruit. That is what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples. Without me, ye can do nothing. If we do not abide in him, we are fruitless. if you saw a dry branch on the ground, it would be no wonder that there was no fruit coming forth from that branch. You will never see a cut off, dead, withered branch suddenly by itself bearing fruit. It's an impossibility. Well, that is true in regard to Christ and his people. He is the vine, they are the branches. And unless they abide in him, they will not bear fruit. And the solemn matter is that if we are fruitless, then we must be severed from Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And that is not the same as being cast into the fire. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. It doesn't say at that point he will be taken into hell. That is something that takes place later. The Lord says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And then he says, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. But before that, the branch that is in Christ, the person who is a member of the visible church that does not bear fruit, before sending him into hell, Jesus says he takes away. How does that happen? Well, the Lord has various ways of accomplishing his purpose. But the solemn reality is, he takes them away, even from the visible church. Yes, there are some who grow up in the visible church. They don't bear fruit. They don't come to Jesus. They don't live a life that glorifies him. And they go off into the world, and they're gone, and you don't see them anymore. They're taken away. Of course, the Lord is still able to bring them back in repentance. But the sad fact is, the branch, this is the truth, the branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then we read that if they are severed from Christ, they wither. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. They become like a branch that is shriveled up and useless. Whatever usefulness that we seem to have, whatever benefits we had, even in our personal lives from being connected with the visible church, that which we seem to have will be taken from us. Not bearing fruit, taken away from the visible church, fruitless, useless. And then, if there is this being cast off and then shriveled up, withering away, then there is the gathering that the Lord Jesus speaks of. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them. And we read about the gathering that will take place on the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. They shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Yes, they are gathered, cast into the fire, and they are burned. My friends, if the vine or the branch of the vine does not bear fruit, what is going to happen? Think about it. Think about a literal vine, a literal branch of a vine. The branch of the vine, or the vine itself, is not bearing fruit. What is the husbandman or the farmer, what is he going to do? What is he going to say? Is he going to tell himself, well, if this vine is not bearing fruit, well, I'll just use it to build a barn. I will cut it down and I'll build a barn from this vine. Can you build a barn from a vine? No. Really, the vine is meant for nothing else than bearing fruit. And if it doesn't bear fruit, the vine is useless. Useless. Unless unless there is one other purpose for the vine that does not bear fruit, and that is this: it is fit for fuel. Fit for fuel. Then gather up the useless branches. There's one purpose left. Put them in the furnace. We can get warm now. They are fit for fuel. You can read Ezekiel chapter 15 that basically sets forth the same truth. What is the vine for? Is it meant for anything else? Can you use it to build something with? No, it's fit for fuel. And so those who do not bear fruit, they are taken from the church, taken from Christ in that visible outward way, and they shrivel up and they perish, and they will be gathered up and be cast into the furnace of hell. Isn't that so solemn? Doesn't it make you tremble in your pew? It makes me tremble in the pulpit. It makes me fear for you in the pew as I see you today. What is going to happen to you? Are you going to bear fruit, or are you going to become useless and cast off and severed and shrivel up and be gathered up and be sent into hell? Oh, how essential it is to bear fruit, that we would not remain in the visible church fruitless. Therefore, we need to find out how we can abide in Christ that we might bear fruit. So, friend, if you're still in an unconverted state, you're still under God's wrath and curse, and how you need to cry to the Lord for mercy. Cry to Him for grace and salvation, that you would come to Jesus, that you would be found in Him, that you might abide in Him and bear fruit to His glory. But I want to further emphasize the reason why we need to abide in Christ. In regard to those who are truly the Lord's people, in one sense we're trying to answer the question, how can I be holy? How can I stop sinning and live a holy life? And of course, the Word of God is full of instruction for that purpose. We're to use all the means of keeping ourselves from falling into sin. The children were being taught this morning the prayer and what it means when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We should learn the commandments of God's Word. We should think about the real intrinsic evil of sin. We should pray for grace. We should watch over ourselves, avoid the occasions of sin. If we are praying sincerely, "Lead us not into temptation," then we will certainly not venture into temptation needlessly or heedlessly. We should be recognizing the omnipresence of God. "Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." Now, these are means in order to avoid sin, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. These are means of putting off the old man, means of resisting sin in order to be holy. But what we have before us in our text this morning is the real and only source of strength and power in order to keep the commandments of God. Abiding in Christ is the only way to have the ability to be fruitful and truly live unto righteousness. Without abiding in Christ, our efforts are futile. Without abiding in Christ, our hearts are cold and our works are dead. And so that is why we must abide in Christ in order to bear fruit, to really have the strength and ability to be fruitful in our lives. It is essential to abide in Christ. Furthermore, because Christ has the Spirit, we must abide in Him. How can we bear the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit? And only if we are united to Christ, who has the Spirit, can we have the Spirit dwelling in us. So it's only when Christ liveth in me by his Spirit that I can live for him to bear the fruit of the Spirit. It's by abiding in Christ that we bear fruit. As the Lord says, without me, ye can do nothing. So we come in the second place to consider the method of abiding in Christ. What abiding in Christ is and how we may abide in him. How do we abide in Christ? Perhaps we can give a very short answer to begin with. We abide in Christ by receiving him and his grace. Abiding in Christ by receiving him and his grace. Receiving him and his grace. How else does the branch abide in the vine but by the vine giving the branch its life? All that the branch has is from the vine. The branch abides in the vine by receiving the life-giving sap of the vine. You see, our life is in him. Our life is in Christ. We have no life without Christ, just as the life of the branch is in the vine. And therefore, we see our life is in him. As Paul says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Friend, are you here today, and you're feeling in your heart of hearts, I have no life but in Christ. Christ is my life. I need Christ or I'm gone. I need Christ or I'm dead. Christ is my life. Now, Christ abides in us by his word. Christ abides in us by his word abiding in us. And we receive his word by faith. Notice how the Lord goes from saying, I abide in you, to my words abide in you. In verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you. I in you. He says, he that abideth in me, and I in him. Christ abiding in us. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. And then he says in verse 7, we come to verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Here he doesn't say, and I abide in you. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So we learn that if we are clean through his word, as we find in verse 3, if we are sanctified through his word, as Jesus says in his intercessory prayer, thy word is truth, sanctify them by thy word. So the Lord Jesus also dwells in us or abides in us through his words. My words abiding in you is almost the equivalent of Christ abiding in us. So he dwells through us, he dwells in us by his word. And it is the believing reception of his words, the believing reception of his words, that is what opens our hearts that he may come into us. When we receive his word, we receive Christ. The Lord, again, in the previous chapter, chapter 14, verse 23, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So the importance of keeping the words of Christ. If we love him, we will keep his words. We will hear his words. We will have his words in us, hiding his word in our hearts. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and listen and make our abode with him. Jesus will abide in us when his words abide in us. Yes, it is His Word that tells us that He came into the world and what He did in this world. It is the Word of Christ that tells us that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. We cannot know Christ without His Word. So Christ abides in us by His Word. It all begins with His Word. Secondly, we should meditate on His Word. His words should be in our minds and affect our hearts. We are to have the Word of Christ dwelling in us richly. He dwells in us by His Word dwelling in us. We need to ponder His Word throughout the day. We should meditate on His Word whenever we can, at least having that humble dependence upon Christ. We should think of Christ at stated times, morning and evening in our secret devotions. We should think on Christ as He has revealed Himself in His Word. And in that way, He will abide in us. We will in this way bear fruit. We will not sin against Him. As David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." So, it's the Word of Christ, meditating on His Word. And thirdly, our meditation of Christ's words should be believing meditation. There should be believing thoughts of Christ. Believing thoughts of Christ. Faith is believing, and believing is receiving. Believing, faith implies knowledge. You cannot believe in something you don't know anything about. Therefore, faith needs an object on something. So, in order to have Christ abiding in us, we need to have believing thoughts of Christ. Believing thoughts of Christ. It has been pointed out that the mind has not been created to invent truth. We don't think of things. Yes, we have an imagination, but that's not to the purpose here. The mind was not meant to invent truth. How can we invent truth? The mind and it was created to receive truth. The mind was created to contemplate truth. The mind and its thoughts, the channel through which the Holy Spirit works. Remember the effectual calling. The Holy Spirit enlightens our minds in the knowledge of Christ. Knowledge, mind, to think. Think about anything. So we abide in Christ. He abides in us. By believing thoughts of Christ, thinking about His offices as prophet, priest, and king, thinking about all that is revealed in the gospel about Jesus, thinking of Him with respect to His person, that He is God and man, two distinct natures and one person forever. He is divine as well as human. And think about His atoning work, His death on Calvary, dying on the cross in order to save sinners. There is an abundant source of truth in the Bible to think about in regard to the Lord Jesus. So, believing thoughts of Christ. And I think this is what is meant by the simple words, beholding Him, beholding Christ, looking to Jesus. We know that it's describing faith, but of course the words look, or other words describe faith like eat, or rest upon, they are describing something that is distinctive in faith. Looking is not, of course, with the physical eye. We don't see Christ with our physical eyes. It is the eye of faith. Looking implies knowledge. Looking with the mind, it involves contemplation. So the apostle in the book of Hebrews is directing us to look to Jesus. Wherefore, this is chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the very next verse, verse 3, some idea of what we are talking about this morning, in that we are to contemplate Christ, think upon Christ. The apostle says, for consider him. Consider him. Consider who? Him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So, the apostle is directing us to focus attention on Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we might have that strength, that grace to run with patience the race that is set before us. And we are confirmed in this principle, this truth, that we abide in Christ and we bear fruit by looking to Jesus, and we have grace in order to do so by looking to Jesus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, where the apostle is directing us to behold Christ. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. By beholding Christ, we do not remain as we are. By beholding Christ, we become like Him. By beholding Christ, we are changed to be like Jesus, changed into the same image that is brought before us in the glass of His Word. Look at the words a little more carefully. Again, we are not beholding Him physically. We do not hang up pictures of Jesus on our walls. We do not say, well, if I can have just take a view of this picture, then I will be like Jesus too. Or I can look at this painting of Jesus sitting on the well and talking to the woman of Samaria, then I can be like him too. No, we're talking about the mind's eye, and more especially the heart. We must not make images of Christ in our minds. We cannot invent things in our minds about Christ. But we have something to look at, and that is the mirror of the Word. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, are like a mirror. They record, they have an accurate picture of Jesus, what He accomplished in this world, what His attitude was, as meek and lowly in heart. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us what the Savior did. They tell us about His character. And we are to look at the mirror of the Word. Read about Jesus and think about what we read. And we abide in Him by beholding His glory as revealed in the mirror of the Word. So we are taking in the Word that reveals Christ, taking it in with believing reception, receiving, therefore, Christ Himself into our hearts. Just as the physical eye takes in the view of the picturesque scenery, so the eye of the mind takes in the view of Christ in His Word. It is by believing reception of His Word, thinking upon what we read, meditating upon it, having believing thoughts of Christ as He is revealed in the Word, And all of this, by this believing reception and believing meditation, Jesus takes up residence in our souls. So we abide in Him, and He abides in us. Abide in me and I in you. If we abide in Him, He will abide in us. We abide in Him by taking in His truth, thinking upon it, and the result is He abides in us. The result is we bear fruit. And that's the whole point. We abide in Christ that we might bear fruit. And when we behold Him, we are changed to be like Him. We are conformed to Him. That's going back to the promise here, this declaration here, this principle involved here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." The same image, the same representation that is revealed in the Word. We're changed into that same image. We're made like Christ. So the Word again is bringing before us the picture, and we are changed and made like that picture. We are shaped and we're fashioned just like that image, that representation in the Word. So we're like Christ. If He is meek and lowly in heart, by beholding Him, we will become meek and lowly in heart. And as He is holy, so we will be made holy. As He was obedient, so we will become obedient, because this is the way to be like Him. This is the way to have Him abide in us. We abide in Him, and He abides in us. And this is how we become fruitful. Now, we have to realize, friends, that this abiding in Christ in this way, and there's no other way, this abiding in Christ takes time. This taking this view of Christ so that by meditating upon Him with believing thoughts, it affects our hearts. It is not like the modern digital cameras where you take a photo and you send it within seconds or split seconds across the world. No, it is not by snapshots from the Scriptures that the Lord of glory will abide in us. We're not made like that. We're not computers. We have minds, hearts, must be affected. It's rather like the old cameras long ago with slow shutters and the lengthy process of getting the film developed and so on. So that's the way we are made, to have an imprint on our mind and heart and life. We need to take the time to meditate on Christ, to consider Him. Consider Him, think about Him, believing in Him, abiding in Him. So remember that abiding in Christ is not mere thinking about Christ. It is believing thoughts of Christ. It is depending upon Jesus. It is, as the Lord Jesus said to the Jews about feeding upon Christ spiritually, when the Lord spoke to them in John chapter 6 about feeding upon His flesh and blood, He was speaking of spiritual feeding. Spiritual feeding upon Him by faith. And this is so important. Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, amen, amen." Here is the truth. "Truly, truly, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." As if to say, without me, ye can do nothing. And this is spiritual feeding. It's feeding by faith. It's faith in Christ, looking to Jesus who was crucified. And unless we trust in Christ who was crucified, we have no spiritual life in us. So it's by believing in Christ and believing in Christ crucified, thinking about Jesus with believing thoughts of Christ, that He abides in us. And this is most especially confirmed when the Lord Jesus says just a few verses later, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." You want to know how to abide in Christ, how Christ will abide in you? It's by believing in Jesus crucified, relying upon his death. Because it's the same word, remaining in Christ, dwelling in Christ, abiding in Christ. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth," or "abideth in me, and I in him." So if you feed upon Christ's broken body and shed blood, you will abide in him, and he will abide in you. He will live in you. You will have the grace from himself to do his will. And remember that Christ abides in us by his Spirit dwelling in us. And remember the reason why Christ died on the cross was so that we might receive the Spirit. Jesus secured the gift of the Spirit by his death on Calvary. So, in order to receive the Spirit, and Christ abides in us by his Spirit, in order to receive the Spirit, we must believe in Jesus and look especially to his death on Calvary. It was his death on Calvary that secured grace for his people. So the first and leading central element in communion with Christ should be communion with him in his death. Believing dependence upon Jesus Christ who was crucified, feeding upon his broken body and shed blood. And if you say, "Well, I don't know anything about meditation. I don't know anything about these thoughts." Well, do you pray? And do you use arguments in prayer? Or do you simply say, "Lord, forgive my sins for Jesus' sake. Amen." And on you go. And you hardly even think about Jesus in your prayers. In your prayers, ask the Lord to forgive you because Jesus died and rose again, because Jesus came into the world to save sinners. "Lord, forgive me because Christ has satisfied divine justice. Lord, forgive me because his body was broken, his blood was shed, and the Lord obeyed the law and he satisfied divine justice. He did all of this for sinners like me. Lord, forgive me on the merits of Christ who was crucified." And so while you're praying, be thinking. And use his word in your prayers. And what else is real heartfelt prayer but believing thoughts and desires and yearning after Christ and thinking about what he did to give you hope? And thereby, Christ by his Spirit abiding in you. And carry on this exercise of prayer, faith, and dependence. Someone has come up with this definition of abiding in Christ. It is the continuous act by which the Christian lays aside all he might draw from his own wisdom and strength and merit to desire all from Christ by the inward aspiration of faith. "Without me, ye can do nothing." The child of God agrees, "Yes, without thee, Lord, I can do nothing. All my hope, all my life, all my strength is from thee. Abide in me, Lord, And may I abide in Thee by depending upon Thee, looking to Thee, considering Thee, with believing thoughts of Thee, and beholding Thee as in a glass, beholding Thy glory, that I might be changed into the same image from glory to glory, that I might be fruitful in my life, that I might honor Thee and glorify Thee. Well, let us come in the third place to consider the blessedness of abiding in Christ. Well, clearly, if we abide in Christ, He will abide in us. Here is a mutual abiding. We in Christ, Christ in us. As some have looked at it as simply a promise. If we abide in Him, He will abide in us. If we receive from Him, He will give to us. Of course, that is true. Here is the wonderful blessedness of union with Christ. As David Brown puts it, believers are one spiritual life with Christ. In Him, it is a fontal life, a life that is giving, a giving life. In them, in believers, it is a derived life. It is a receiving life. One life, but it is Christ who gives, and it is we who receive. Abide in Me, and I in you. If we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. We will grow in grace. Without abiding in Christ, we cannot bear fruit. But if we abide in Him, we will bear fruit. And the Lord does indeed say that not only we will bear fruit, but we will bear more fruit. It is good to bear fruit, but we should desire to be more fruitful. And that is why the Lord brings His children into trials and afflictions to cleanse away what is sinful and all that hinders them in order that the child of God may bring forth more fruit. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Just like the little branches or shoots are lopped off, that the branch may be more fruitful. He purgeth it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if we're going through trials and afflictions, well, the Lord, it's all to make His people bring forth more fruit. That we would be more holy, that we would be more spiritually minded, that we would be more fruitful. And not only to bring forth more fruit, but to bring forth much fruit. And that's what the Lord Jesus promises. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And should this not encourage God's people to abide in Christ, that they would not only be fruitful, that they would not only be just one step ahead of what they were before, but that they should bear much fruit. And that is what we should desire. And that is what we should seek after, to abound in grace, that we might be productive in our lives, that we might bear all the precious fruits of the Spirit, that we would exercise the grace of love, that we would exercise the grace of joy, that we would bring forth fruit, that we would exercise peace, the grace of long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance, all of these fruits of the Spirit. Against such there is no law. The blessedness of abiding in Christ. And by abiding in Christ, we will bring forth fruit, and the result is we will have the valid indication and evidence of true discipleship. We will have the evidence by bearing fruit that we're not under the law, we're not under the curse. We have the Spirit within us, crying, Abba, Father. We show that we are the people of Christ. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, we have the evidence that we have the Spirit within us. And Jesus said in verse 8, Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. We have the evidence of discipleship by fruit bearing. Again, our prayers will be answered by abiding in Christ and His words abiding in us. The Lord says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If Christ's words are abiding in us, then every thought and every desire will be conformable to His word. And therefore, no desire will come up from our souls except that which is according to God's will. And the Lord will give the answer accordingly. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The very breathings of the heart are of God, and cannot therefore but meet with a divine response, the answer of God. Answers to prayer, and then finally, the Father is glorified. If we abide in Christ and bring forth fruit, then we glorify God. That is why God has brought a people near to Himself. He has brought them into saving union with Christ, that they, not merely that they would be escaped from hell, not merely that they would be happy, but that they would glorify Him, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the Lord's people truly love holiness. So the fact that by abiding in Christ they will be more fruitful, that should be an encouragement to them. The child of God says, if I abide in Christ, I will bring forth more fruit. I will be enabled to glorify God. How I want to abide in Him. Show me how to abide in Him. But abide in Him by believing thoughts of Him, thinking upon Him, trusting in Him, acknowledging our insufficiency, our total dependence on Him, and looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He will abide in us. Abide in me, and I in you. So, by way of conclusion, having considered the necessity of abiding in Christ, the method of abiding in Christ, and the blessedness of abiding in Christ, let us recognize that we need to cherish a sense of insufficiency. We all have that tendency to self-sufficiency. We're all prone to follow that principle of the world that we should have a positive attitude. When things go wrong, you just need to pick up yourself and start again. If it doesn't work the first time, just try again. You can do it. Be determined. Well, it is true that we need to be resolved. It is true that we need to try and try harder. But we should always recognize our weakness. We should always recognize that we have no ability of ourselves. Our very physical ability, our mental capability is all from God. And we need to always depend on the true source of strength. So, always acknowledging our inability. We can do nothing without Him, and always depending upon Him who is the source of all strength. And even if we have been comforted that we have stood in times past and that we have been strong to serve the Lord previously, our comfort should not be, well, I've done it before and I can do it again. No, but God has helped me before. He will help me again. I will go in the strength of the Lord. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. Yes, He is the true vine. We are the branches. And remember that the cause of spiritual failure is unbelief. If we are fruitless, it's because we are faithless, and we need to abide in Him and believe in Jesus that we might bear fruit to His glory. When Peter was walking on the waves, he was looking to Jesus, all was well, but when he turned and looked at the waves and looked at the wind, that is when he sunk. And so we need to pray that we would be abiding in Him and be looking to Jesus. Looking away from Christ leads to barrenness. Looking to Jesus leads to fruitfulness. And remember the two on the road to Emmaus, as they were walking and they were talking about Jesus, thinking about Him, Jesus drew near. He came and walked beside them. And He made as though He would go further while they came to their own house. It looked like He was going to go further. But they did what? They constrained Him. They said, "Abide with us." And that should be your prayer and my prayer, constraining the Lord and giving Him no rest, and be praying earnestly that He would abide in us. "I will not let thee go till thou bless me. I sought Him and I found Him and I held Him and I would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me." Abide with us. Lord, abide in me. Friend, does Jesus still not abide in you? Are you still having some connection with the visible church, but no living connection with Jesus, the head of the church? And will you be severed from the visible church, and will you be severed from Christ forever? Will you shrivel up, and will you die and go to hell? Oh, that these things would matter to you. Oh, that you would seek the Lord with all your heart. That you would persevere in prayer, that you would continue to knock till the door of salvation is open. Come to Jesus, because He is the door. And He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Come to Him, and He will receive you. He never turned away anyone that came to Him. Come, He says. He is calling. He is standing at the door. He is knocking. He says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." May He bless His word. Let us pray.